He can enter into a gate, huh? Find life.
Great name.
We've begun a series on the dream. And that's what our title, our series is called, The Dream. And today's lesson is called Obstacles of the Dream. Kind of self-explanatory. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 17. And also to the book of Genesis, chapter 12 and verse 1. I'll be in Acts 2 in about 30 seconds after I've prayed, and we'll get started. Father, thank you for such a wonderful, wonderful place and day and life. How abundant it is. Father, I ask you now as I go forth to sow seed that, Father, the seed fall on good soil. Father, it will produce 160 and 30-fold, and Father, it will bring forth much fruit that remains. Father, I pray that we'll hear something today that will encourage us and help us and show us how to pursue our dream, the thing that you put into our heart, your perfect will for our lives. And I ask you, Lord God, in Jesus' name to help us. Let our ears hear what the Spirit says to the church, and let me, Lord, be anointed to bring forth this word, and pray, Father God, in Jesus' name, that it will change lives. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 17 says this, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people." Now, last days, according to God, was 2,000 years ago. "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." So God's going to do something in your life and in my life. It's a promise to give you a dream. It's a promise to give you a vision. In your heart, in my heart, in every person, every young man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every old man, every old woman, every person has within their heart a dream. God has created prophecy to encourage and exhort and comfort, and God has created prophecy to ignite, uncover, fuel and fire your dream. The purpose of prophecy is to encourage you to pursue and go after your dream. Everyone needs a personal prophecy. Everyone needs to have hands laid upon them and the Spirit of God speak to them to give them directions concerning their dream. But God says, "I'm going to give you a dream." In the last days, God says, "I'm going to pour my Spirit out upon all flesh, upon every person. I'm going to give them a dream." See, this dream that we're talking about here is what God did in your life when you were formed in your mother's womb. Inside of you is a desire to do something not only for yourself, but also a desire to do something for God and something in the kingdom of God. Inside of you is this thing that's created in you that will bring you ultimate joy and ultimate happiness. It's called the dream. It's actually the perfect will of God for your life. If you pursue after it, you will have an abundant life that Jesus came to give you. If you pursue after it, you'll get out of bed in the morning and you'll have a smile on your face, even though you may be going through some difficult times. If you pursue your dream and chase your dream, it'll take you through the most difficult times of your life, but yet you'll be able to go on to your destiny and go on to your purposes simply because inside of you is this motivation, and it's called the dream. It's called the vision. If you're a young man, if you're a young person, or even if you're an older person, he's going to give you a vision. He says, "I'll give it to my young men will see visions, and my older people can look back to see if they've really lived their dream." But I don't really care how old you are. I'm 56. I'm 50-something, and right now I still have a vision for my dream, you know, and I still see it. But I also can look back to see what parts of it I have lived, what parts of my dream I have lived. If you're a young person right now, if you'll grab onto your dream, you'll be able to use it as a vision for your life. And if you're an older person like myself, then you'll be able to look back and see where that dream has actually played a part in your life. But every person has a dream. Every person has something in the core of them that God put there. It's of God. It's a God thing. Inside of you is a will to do His pleasure, but also a will to be successful in your own life. That's in every single one of us. Now, God did this when He created you. God did this. It's a part of your being. It's when you were in your mother's womb, and I'm going to read you this scripture right now. It's in Psalms 139 and verse 13. "For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb." See, God did that for you. In your mother's womb, He knit together your DNA. In your mother's womb, He put you together. In your DNA, He colored your fingerprint. In your mother's womb, He put your jawbone structure together and your retina layout together. In your mother's womb, He did all of that for you. But in your mother's womb, He gave you a dream. And it's as much a part of you as your DNA, as your retina layout, as your jawbone structure. Your dream is a part of you. You were formed with that dream. When you were created, you had that dream. When you were born, you had that dream. When you were a child, you had that dream. Right now, you have that dream. And that dream will go with you every day of your life. It's the dream. And it's down inside of you. God has thought this thing through. God has a plan for your life. God has it all figured out. He has a plan for your life to be successful. God has a plan for your life to be prosperous. God has put all this together. He's ordained you to do something great. In Psalms 139, verse 16, it says, "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." See, God has a perfect will for your life, and it's wrapped up in your dream. This is the ordained life that God has for you. In your dream, in your heart, in your core, down in your DNA, down in the deepest resources of yourself, there is this dream, there is this passion. God put that there. It's ordained of God. It's from God. It's all written out. He has it all planned. God's got given a lot of thought to this thing. He thinks about you all the time. He thinks about you more than you imagine. He thinks about you. He thinks about you more than there are grains of sand. His thoughts for you are more than there are grains of sand. He thinks about us all the time. And He's thinking, how can I help them, encourage them, and bless them to fulfill their dream? Let me read this verse to you in Psalms 139, verse 17 and 18. "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand." See, His plan and purpose for your life is wrapped up in that dream and that vision that was put into you in your mother's womb. It's in your core. He has a plan, and it's in there right now, wanting to burst forth, wanting to take you and for you to experience things that you haven't even thought of or dreamed of yet. It's the dream. It's the vision. It's what God's given to you. And your dream is different from everyone else. Your dream is unique, just as your DNA is unique. It's your dream, and it's up to you to fulfill it. See, you'll probably find this dream, this vision, in some of your most ancient memories. If you think back when you were a child and you are aware of the dream, then you'll find that dream back there, way back there, in some of your most ancient thoughts and memories that you have of your life. For example, I used this illustration last week. Perhaps your first grade teacher asked you to color a picture of what you want to be when you grew up. Well, that may have been it. Or when you played games, or when you played, then you would have played perhaps what your dream would have been. We all do this. It's interesting to me that the first words recorded that Jesus said were concerning His dream. He was but 12 years old. You remember the story? He had come to the temple with his parents for a feast, and he had gotten separated from them. And the parents went looking for Jesus, and they found him in the temple. And there he was, astounding the lawyers and the leaders of his day, the teachers of his day, with his wisdom and understanding of the Bible and the Word of God at 12 years of age. But here is what he said as his parents came to find him. They were a little upset, as you or I would be. And in Luke 2:49 it says, "How is it that you sought me?" This was Jesus asking this. "Wist you not that I must be about my Father's business?" See, the passion of Jesus was to bring a new kingdom. That was the Father's business that Jesus was about. Jesus had Father's business to do, and the very first words concerning what Jesus said in the Bible were concerning what He was here about. What at 12 years old, He was already realizing and understanding that He could focus on that dream. I want you to know your children are born with a dream. You have children right now who have a dream in their hearts. And if you'll begin to watch them play and watch what they color and see what they play when they're by themselves, you'll begin to get an insight into that dream. And if you can help them focus on that dream at an early age, you're going to help them avoid a lot of problems in life. There's a dream inside of you. There's a dream inside of every one of us. It's interesting to me that the first things also spoken about David, who became King David, was also that God was preparing his heart at a young age, as a very young boy. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 1, it says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." See, God, even at the young age of David, was already preparing himself a king. God was already preparing the heart of David to become king of all of Israel, one of the greatest kings that ever lived. He was doing that at a very young age, a very young time in David's life. He did that in your life. He's prepared your heart at a young age to become something great, something of success, something not of the norm. You're to go beyond mediocrity. You're supposed to do something special for God, especially in your life. God's called you by his dream. Also, even concerning the boy Samuel. Samuel was a young boy, and you maybe remember the story. But Hannah could not bear children. Hannah could not conceive. And so she prayed, and God allowed her to conceive and to get pregnant. And she bore her son, and his name was Samuel. Well, she gave him to Eli to raise. Eli was the priest in those days, and because God had given her a son, then she turned around and gave him back to God and gave him to Eli. Well, as a young child serving Eli, just a little boy, he was sleeping in his room one night, and God spoke to him. Well, he thought that was Eli calling him, the priest. So Samuel gets up and goes into Eli's room and says, "Yes, did you call me?" And Eli says, "No, I didn't call you." He went back to bed. Heard it again, the Lord again, speaking to Samuel just as a little boy, trying to let Samuel have an understanding about the focus of his dream. And Samuel got up again, went to Eli's room again and said, "Did you call me?" And he says, "No, I didn't call you. Go back to your room." This happened three times. The third time, Eli finally woke up and said, "Oh, that must be God talking to you. Next time it happens, you stay in your room and just say, 'Yes, Lord.'" Well, it did happen again. And sure enough, God was speaking to little bitty Samuel and given Samuel his dream. He says, "I'm going to do something in Israel that's going to tickle and tingle the ears of all that hear it." I'll read you the verse. I see they're having a little difficulty with the projection right now, but that's okay. I'll read you the verse. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1, and then I'm going to read verses 1 and 11. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. And then verse 11 says, "And the Lord said to Samuel," while he was laying in the bed that night, little bitty boy, "the Lord said to Samuel, 'See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle.'" See, I want you to hear me. God wants to say something to you that will make your ears tingle. God wants to tell you about your dream. And if you will but listen to him, God's going to tingle your ears about what you're to do, about something that your life is to project, what your life is to do in a success story. If you'll just listen to God, if you'll just lay in your bed, when he calls to you, he wants to tell you about your dream. We talked last time about Joseph. Remember Joseph, just as a little child. Joseph was a dreamer. The Bible calls him Joseph the dreamer. Joseph was just a little boy, and he was having all of these dreams and all these visions. He was having these dreams, and he was sharing his dreams with this person and with that person. And he told his brothers, and his brothers, you know what they did to him. They want nothing to do with his dream. And even told his dad. They even told his parents, and his parents actually rebuked him because of his dream. But my point is that as a little boy, Joseph was having dreams. Let me read this one to you. It's in Genesis 37 and 10. When he, Joseph, told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had?" You see, my point in all of those illustrations is that all of these people in the Bible at young ages, as little guys and little girls, they had a dream in their heart. God, they were born with it. It was a part of them. It's who they are. It's what they are. And they begin to dream this dream. Your children have dreams right now. You have dreams. You've had it when you were a young child. You had it when you were born. You had it when you were a child. You have it right now sitting here. You'll have it till the last day of your life. It is your dream. It was born with you when you were born. And it'll go with you all of your life. It's in the core of your being. It's as much a part of you as your DNA. It's as much a part of you as your fingerprints or your retinal layout. It is you. And it's what God wants you to do in this life. It is your dream. It is His perfect will for your life. And nothing will ever make you happier. Nothing will ever give you more fulfillment as when you're pursuing and chasing and living your dream. So my purpose today is not only to show you the dream, but to also show you some other things about the dream. I remember when I was a little guy, in my most ancient memories, one of those, I have a couple, but one of my most ancient memories is when I was about 7 years old, a long time ago. But about 7 years old, my parents didn't go to church, and so we would stay at home on Sundays. And I remember living in this basement with my parents and sitting there watching a little black and white television. Now, I was watching Oral Roberts. Daddy was out doing something, but I was there by myself watching this little black and white television. And I'm not that old. We did have color televisions in those days. We just didn't have color television. And so I was sitting there watching this little black and white television, watching Oral Roberts. And I would watch Oral Roberts. He'd teach a little bit about from the Bible, and then he would pull out a stool, and then he would sit on that stool, and people would line up, and he would lay his hands on them and pray for them, and God would heal them. And I remember thinking at 7 years of age how nice that would be for God to allow me one day to lay my hands on people and God use me to heal people. Amen. God heal people. See, that's back there in my most ancient memories. I became an adolescent, and I remember about 16 or 17 years old, I was finally able to drive myself, and I wanted to start going to church. And so there was a church not too far from our home, and so I began attending this little church and began going, and I was one of the youth there, and at that age, you know, it wasn't very difficult, but I became the youth leader. Not a big deal when you're in this, you know, a small little thing. You don't have to compete too many people. But anyway, I became the youth leader. And that means that every year I would get to preach. You know, I had youth day, so the youth leader would get to preach. And I remember, even at that age, I would go out to my little room where my bedroom was. And I would go out in my bedroom, and I would preach to chairs, and I would preach to beds, and I would preach to anything that would stand there and let me preach to it. You know, I was in my little area. And I remember thinking how wonderful it would be to get to preach and to teach God's Word. Isn't that interesting? Now, let me add just a thought here. It was during those times, in 16 and 17 years of age, that I met my wife. We, in this youth thing that I was doing, that's about the time I was closest to chasing after my dream in those years of my life. I met my wife. And if I fast forward that video of my life, and if I fast forward it way up now, to where it's at now, then my meeting her and fast forwarding it up, my walking in my dream then, I married her, and then now, because of following that dream with her, now my daughter came to this town, and because I was following my dream and married her husband, and I have two of the most beautiful grandchildren that you've ever seen. I also, because of that, my son now has met his wife, and they're married. And see, what I'm trying to relate to you is when you're living your dream, God does eternal things. I can look back now and see in my life when I was living it or pursuing my dream, God did eternal things. Now, He's always blessed my life, but He did eternal things in my life when I was living in that dream. So, I just want to throw that in right there, and I'll pursue that just a little bit more a little bit later in my talk today. But God's put a dream in you, and He's put a dream in you and me. And it was interesting when I was telling you about watching Oral Roberts. You see, I didn't like watching normal church. Okay? I didn't like watching. Now, there's nothing wrong with normal church. But that's not what I like to watch. It had to be somewhat different. And as you can see, we're still pursuing that part of the dream. God's given us a dream. Now, as surely as God has given you a dream, as surely as He's put it into your heart, it's a part of your life just as your DNA is, or just as much a part of you as your fingerprint and retinal layout is, just it's your dream. Just as surely as if you follow that dream and pursue that dream, God will give you ultimate blessings and ultimate success in your life. Just as sure as that will happen, you can also be just as sure that the enemy is going to come and try to stop your dream. The enemy's coming. He's going to first of all try to stop it. If he can't stop it, he's going to try to slow it down. He's going to try to put stumbling blocks in front of it, trip it up, cause it to detour. That's another thing he'll do. And he'll cause you to try to get off path. You remember that we talked about in the gates, the Lord said, enter, make sure you enter through the front gate first, the narrow gate, and find it, which is the road. It, each of us have an it. Each of us have a road, that race that we're supposed to run. What the enemy will try to do is kind of counterfeit or do something like that to get you off it. He'll also try to counterfeit your dream, make you fall for something that's not really your dream, but just kind of looks like your dream. The enemy's coming. Just as sure as God's given you a dream, just as sure as the enemy's coming. And he's going to put obstacles out there to trip you up, to counterfeit, to stop it. And we, if we're really going to pursue our dream, if we're really going to experience all the life that God has for us, the abundant life that Jesus came to provide for us and to give to us, then we must be also aware that the enemy's coming, and we must understand how to recognize these things, these obstacles, and how to get past them and to go on and to pursue our dream. And of course, that's what I'm trying to talk about today. The enemy's coming. Now, as I begin to look at it from this avenue, the primary thing that the enemy always comes at every person that I've studied in the Bible with is people. Now, let me get a little more specific. Of course, that's not a big revelation there, but I want to narrow it down just a little bit and be more specific, because most of the time the people that he's going to come to stop, block, trip, detour, counterfeit your dream with are going to be relatives and close friends. God has specifically put special people in our lives, and these people have input into our lives, and we love them, and so we listen to them, and so they give us direction. But at the same time, the enemy will use those same people to divert your life, to mess your life up. If possible, he's going to use the people that you love and trust the most to stop your dream. Your hardest fights in life are going to be over your dream. As you pursue your dream, that's where you're going to find the enemy coming at you with the most resistance. If you're having no resistance and you're just chasing, you think you're on your dream trail and it's just no problems at all, that's not your dream. Because the enemy's going to try to stop it. But every time he tries to stop it, if you'll just identify it and go on with it, you will get past it and you will experience your dream. So just as surely understand that there are counterfeits that's going to come your way. Now, I looked at it, and I want to start looking at Genesis chapter 12. And if you have your Bibles open there, I want to read that verse now. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, it says this. And the Lord had said to Abram. Would you say that back to me? Had said to Abram. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will bless you. If you're pursuing after this dream, I will bless you. I will make your name great. See, he wasn't supposed to live an ordinary life. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. In other words, I'll be your defender. I'll take care of you. You don't have to defend yourself. I'll take care of you. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. God had great plans for Abraham. Great plans. Things that Abraham had not even thought of yet were out there waiting on Abraham. All Abraham had to do was step out into this dream. But what was interesting to me about this passage is it says the Lord had said to Abram. He had said to Abram. But it took Abram years to step out into his dream. It took him years. Now, Abram is called a man of faith. He's called the father of the faithful. Abram is also called the friend of God. He had a relationship with God going on here. But still, it took him years to step out and to follow his dream. Well, my point is I don't care. You can be very, very close to God. You can be a person of great faith. And you can have a personal relationship, but never enjoy your dream. Never step out on your dream. Now, it took him years. Do you know why it took him years? Do you know what the reason was that Abraham would not step out and begin pursuing his dreams? Family. Family and friends and relatives. It was. His daddy had lost a son, and there's an intricate little story there, and he just would not leave and step out until dad died, and then he finally took off and followed his dreams some 25 years later. See, God's given you a dream. And one of the main things that the enemy is going to come and try to hold you back from pursuing your dream, stumble you up with, are going to be relatives. And some of these relatives may be siblings, like David experienced with his brothers, and Joseph experienced with his brothers, or parents as Joseph experienced, and also David with his father Jesse. It may be parents. It could be your spouse. A spouse will stop your dream. Not intentionally, and let me go ahead and make sure I say this. See, it's not because these people may be bad or evil people. They think they have your best interest at heart. But in reality, what they'll be doing is stopping your dream. It's not that, like in Sarah's case, Abram's spouse, Sarah's hope was that she was going to help Abram pursue his dream and have a son. But in actuality, it was a counterfeit. The Hagar-Ishmael thing. Remember? See, her meaning was well, but the enemy used that to block and stop the dream. And so God will come over that, though. God will override that if you'll just keep on pursuing your dream. You'll figure that thing out and you can just keep on going, even though you did bite into it, even though you did take a bite of that apple. You can still go on. You can still go on in your dream. But there are going to be friends, people that you love the most, your dearest, bestest friend, will cause you not to chase your dream because you're listening to those people. But now I want to tell you the deal here and what it is that will help you get beyond that and understand what you're supposed to do. It says that the Lord had said to Abram. Is that what it says? The Lord had said. What has the Lord said to you? Not what your best buddy said to you, or not what your spouse said to you, or not what your preacher said to you. What has the Lord said to you? The Lord had said to Abram, get out. Leave these things behind. Go pursue your dream. And as Abraham did what the Lord had said, he began to experience his dream. You'll never experience your dream until you do what the Lord says. Amen? It was in 1985, and I finally did what the Lord had said to me to do. It was then, in 1985, that I came to the city. At that time, something stirred that most ancient stuff in me. Those dreams and desires of praying for people and teaching. It was stirred into a brand new capacity and dimension. I was stirred up. And I stepped out on a mustard seed faith, much like I was talked about last week concerning this. And surprisingly, as much to me as anyone else, it really worked. And since that time, here we are nearly 20 years later. Since that time, you know what? I have lived the most exciting life I could possibly hope for. I am so fulfilled. I could not be happier. I am so fulfilled and so full and so joyful and so happy about life. I get up early in the mornings and start chasing it. I'll go to bed late at night, still chasing it. I lay in bed thinking about it. I'm constantly pursuing it. I am a man of extreme joy and happiness. I am so content and so happy with my life. It's beyond my wildest expectations. And we're not even there yet, but it's good. And I'm wanting you to understand that what happens, though, is the enemy's going to come. Now, did the enemy try to stop me? Did he come at me? Listen, many of you, let me do it this way. Many of you know what your dream is. What has God said to you? And you know what God has said to you. How long ago was it that God said it to you? How many times has God said it to you? Why haven't you done it? Let me guess. Family, relationships, and relatives. That's probably why. Now, did that come at me? Did those things come to me to stop me from pursuing my dream? Oh, you better believe it. My mother. Now, as long as I was driving back and forth, the 155-mile jaunt, she was fine with it. But when I started talking about moving here, my mother said, "You're not going to move, are you?" Now, this is Mama talking. And, you know, you love Mama. Yeah, Mama, I think I'm going to move. How many of you really think my wife was thrilled about the idea of leaving our nice home and all of those niceties and moving to Lafayette? How many? Does anybody think that? Well, I got one that thinks that, but the rest of us don't think that. My wife's sisters cried. My wife cried. My daughter pitched a fit. But now you know what? We all look back, and there is not a doubt in one of our minds that that was not God and what God had said to me. We look back, we're all so fulfilled. She found her husband. Because I stepped out and pursued my dream, she now has her dream. My son has found his wife, and we're going to make some babies there too. I'm just telling you. You see, none of us. I had a boss. My initial boss did not want me doing it. My initial boss had to replace me, but he kind of understood a little bit. But his boss, he thought I was just clueless. He thought I was an idiot. He was so sure that I would fail that he told me, he says, "Well, when you finally figure out this isn't going to work, you can come back and I'll put you back on work. I'll give you back a job." Well, to make that story make sense to you, 2 years later, that factory closed down. Not because I left. That's not what I'm trying to say. But see, had I been there, all of that would have crumbled anyhow. But I had stepped out into my dream. And you've got to learn to do, you've just got to do that. You've got to hear what God has said to you. What has God said to you? What are you going to do with what God has said to you? And see, here we are now 20 years later, living our dream, but also with a ministry that's really touching and changing lives. Really touching and really changing lives. So you've got to find out what it is that God said to you. Did you know that even the brothers of Jesus discouraged him? Did you know that? So your relatives are going to come. Even the closest ones are going to come to you. They're going to discourage you. And in John 7:5, here it says, "For even his brothers, his own brothers, did not believe in him." But look what Jesus did. He would not allow his family, he would not allow friends, he would not allow relatives to stop him. And he went on with his dream. And you see what Jesus accomplished. And what I'm trying to encourage you to do today is you can't listen to those people. You get advice from them. You get encouragement from them. But you've got to decide what God has said to you. And you've got to step out on it. And you've got to pursue it. Now you will constantly be meeting people used by God who will be taking you to your dream, up to your dream. But also, you're going to be constantly, in all of your walk through life, be meeting people who want to stop your dream, who were sent by the enemy or used by the enemy. And again, you understand what I'm trying to say. It's not that they're bad people, but for some reason, they're trying to stop your dream and take you down from your dream. See, that's a constant in life. And again, let me make sure you understand, it's not that they're bad people. It's that they don't understand your dream. They haven't heard what God has said to you. And when you understand what God says, it doesn't matter what anyone else says. Now, after last week's lesson, several of us were talking, and someone said this. They said, relationships are like buttons on an elevator. Some will take you up, and some will take you down. That's good, isn't it? And if you're in the basement of life, if your life is in a basement, then you've pushed the B button. Or you've gotten on the elevator with people going down. If your life's going up and you're finding that you're chasing your dream and life's getting better and better the higher you get, if you're going up, it's because you pushed the up buttons. Or you got on the elevator with people going up. You'll find that if you get around people that dream big and have big thoughts, you'll dream big and you'll have big thoughts. If you get around people that have little bitty thoughts and no dreams, then you're going to have little bitty thoughts and you're not going to have dreams. You see, we got to hook up with people that are going up in life. And simply because your family only reached a certain level in life, because you were raised at a certain level in life, that doesn't mean that's where you stop. No, that's where you start. You start on that floor and then you go up from there. That's God's plan for you. My kids and they're taking off. There's no telling where Jack and Max are going to take off from. You know, how many floors are on this thing? We're going to heaven, right? Yeah. So you have to realize that you get on the elevator with people going up and chase your dreams, and not with people going down. And this happens with relatives, it happens with friends, it happens with relationships, it happens with family. You gotta go up. And sometimes it becomes necessary to separate or have different relationships as you walk out your life. Now, what I'm trying to say here is that sometimes they want to go, the relationships you have want to go down or stop at this level. And if you're going to keep on pursuing your dream, what you've got to do is you don't go down and you don't get off the elevator. You got to keep pushing buttons to go up. Let me show you this in the Bible concerning Abram. We're talking about Abram a little bit here. But in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 9, Abram found it necessary to separate from his nephew, his relations, his not only relationship, but his relative named Lot. In verse 9 of Genesis 13, it says this: "Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, if you go down, I'm going to the right, I'm going up. If you go to the right, if you go down, I'll go to the left, I'm going up." See, Lot's life was heading in a wrong direction. Lot's life was heading to Sodom. Something had happened. Now, they came out of Ur of the Chaldees together, and they were both going up and pursuing their dreams together. But then all of a sudden, Lot's life changed, and Lot's life began going towards Sodom, began going down. Abram said, "I'm not going there. If you're going there, I'm going here. I am going on with God." And what you've got to decide, and what I've got to decide in our lives, is we're going to pursue our dreams, is that there are some times that relationships, or even relatives, we can't go on with them. Now, it's not that Abraham didn't love Lot. He loved Lot. But Lot was no longer going after the same things that Abraham was going for. And so you get those off your elevator, I guess is the best way of saying it in this thing. See, Paul... Well, Jesus, let me use Jesus first. Jesus would not allow his relationships with Peter to stop him. You remember the story. Jesus had told them about how he was going to have to go to the cross, and he was going to be beaten and crucified and all those things. And Peter grabs him and says, "Oh, no, Lord, not so." And you know what happened? In verse 23 of Matthew chapter 16, it says this: Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Do you see how... Now, was Peter a bad person? No, Peter wasn't an evil person. But yet somehow, Satan was using Peter there to stop Jesus' dream. He was going to make Peter be a stumbling block. And that verse says, "You are a stumbling block to me," Jesus said. "You do not have the mind in mind the things of God, but the things of men." See, the enemy will use your dearest friends, your closest friends, your relatives, to trip you up and become stumbling blocks for your dream. And then you got to say, "Peter, I love you, but I'm going on. I am not going in that direction. I'm not going down. I have a vision. I have a focus, and I'm going after it." Now, when we came into the kingdom of God, we had to do that. We had our relatives and friends and people that just weren't going where we were going. And we had a vision and a dream, and we kept chasing it and pursuing it. We would not allow people to trip us up. Paul was that way. Paul would not allow relationships to stop him. The Bible tells us that Barnabas was very influential in Paul coming into the kingdom of God. Barnabas was one that really brought Paul into the relationship with the other apostles and got Paul into a position to become an apostle. And they went on their first missionary journey, and it went pretty well. But he had a falling out, Paul did, with John Mark. But Barnabas, that was Barnabas' nephew. But Barnabas, rather than breaking it off with John Mark, wanted Mark to go again with them on another journey. Paul says, "It ain't going to happen. I have a vision, I have a dream to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God to the whole world. I am not going to allow your relationship with your nephew to stop me." And you know what happened? And the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 15 and verse 39, they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left. And they were commended by the brothers by the grace of God. What I want us to see in that verse is that God will send you people to carry on your dream. God will send you a Silas. God will send you somebody. If the person that you're running with stops, God will send you somebody else that will take you up higher and go on to another level. But you cannot allow anything, anyone, any relative, any friend, any relationship to trip your dream up. You've got to separate yourself from it and go on to the thing that God has told you to do. And you know what that is. And only you know really what that is. Now, I want to stay kind of in the same frame of mind, but just do an emerald thing here. Let's kick it up a notch. There's a thing called family mindsets. And once again, simply because God has done only... start over. Simply because your family has acquired, the family that you were raised in, only came to a certain level of life, that's not where God wants you to remain. He wants you to start there, but not remain there. But family mindsets will stop you. Family mindsets will stop your dream and pull your dream back. See, you're not here to live a status quo life. You're not. You're here to go on. You're here to not leave a life of mediocrity. You're here to go on. You're a child of the Most High God. You have a purpose for living here. And it's to advance the kingdom. And when your dream advances and when you chase your dream, you'll also see that the kingdom of God advances. That's in every scenario that you want to look at. Do you remember Gideon in the Bible? Remember Gideon? Gideon was raised on the wrong side of the tracks. Gideon had a poverty mentality. His family was poor, very poor. And Gideon thought of himself in that mentality. In fact, he thought of himself as the poorest of the poor. Though his family was poor, he was poorer than his family. He was going down in his understanding and vision of himself. One day God sent an angel to Gideon because he wanted to use Gideon. He had given Gideon a dream. And I want you to get this picture of how powerful mindsets and relatives can be upon us. And here stands this angel standing before Gideon, the angel of God standing there before Gideon, telling Gideon what God has planned for him to do and what God wants to do in Gideon's life. And here's what Gideon says to this angel in Judges 6:15. But Gideon replied, "Sir, how can I save Israel? My family is the poorest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least, thought of in the entire family." Now, do you see the mindset that Gideon had about? Here's an angel of God standing there telling him, "Here's what I want you to do." And Gideon says, "How can I do it? I have got such a strong mindset. I'll never get..." See, your mindset, your family mindsets will stop your dreams. Relationships and relatives and these kinds of things will really block up your dream and stop you from experiencing it. Now, what happened here is that God saw Gideon as a mighty man of valor. Gideon saw himself as the poorest of the poor. Gideon saw his life going down. God saw Gideon's life going up. And see, you and I have got to do the same thing. It is not until we start seeing ourselves the way God sees us that we'll ever break mindsets. We'll ever break those bondages that family puts into our heads and our mindsets. Let me show you this verse. This is how God saw Gideon in Judges 6:12. "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." How did God see Gideon? As a mighty man of valor. How does God see you? As a weak little defeated blessed Christian that's going to die one day and go to heaven maybe? Or does He see you as a king of kings and as a king's kid? Does He see you as one who is more than a conqueror? Does He see you as blessed above all things and that anything you put your hand to can prosper? Does He see you as the head and not the tail? How does He see you? And you'll never follow your dream. You'll never experience all that God has for you until you start seeing yourself as God sees you. You see, I experienced this. My family was extremely poor. I don't even like talking about it. My family was extremely poor. We did not have indoor plumbing until I was in the 11th grade. I had... I agree. Hard for me to believe. I had one pair of pants and two shirts. In high school, I was ashamed and embarrassed to have people come to my house. My daddy sold out in Miami, Florida, sold his house and everything, moved to Griffin, Georgia, and bought some land. He wanted to be a farmer. You got to get the picture. A guy from Miami moving to Griffin and being a farmer. He didn't know nothing about farming. But I look back and I see God, you know. Because of that move, I met her and got it. So, I mean, you know, I'm not arguing with it. It just didn't make sense. Still doesn't sometimes. But my thought is that we had nothing. We had nothing. Neither of my parents had an education. Neither one of them graduated high school. But something inside of me said, Delbert, you can do more. Don't let that be your mindset. Don't let that stop you and limit you. I went on to college. And I had to work my way through. Like Terry was talking earlier, there's some things you got to do. Sarah, there's some things that you and only you can do with Abraham. Hey, God can't do this for you, Sarah. And I had to do it myself. I had to work. But I wasn't going to allow that to stop me. I got a couple of degrees. I went on. I married the right woman, and that was a biggie there. I'm telling you, that was probably the biggest right thing I ever did. Yeah. And she poked me and prodded me and kept me going, you know, to better myself and better our homes and get nicer things and go on in life. So those things happened, but I still wasn't fulfilled, you know. Nice job, made good money, college, all those things, nice home, all that stuff, but I still hated my job. I was good at it, but I hated it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You're good at it, but you hate doing it. Yeah. And I was good at it, but I hated it. But in 1978, I had a Gideon experience. The angel of the Lord stood before me. And he says, here's what I want you to do. How can I do that? There's no preachers in my family. My parents don't even go to church. Yeah. When am I going to do that? Oh, no. Here's how I see you, Delbert. And all of a sudden, I began reading the Bible. I began seeing what God saw me doing. Began believing it and seeing it in my mind's eye. And all of a sudden, those little times where I would just stand and preach in my little bedroom, I found myself doing it again. In my office, I was preaching to my Sunday school class. And then I got a Sunday school class. And then I began to see myself having a church and preaching to a church. And I began having a church. And I began following that dream. And God made himself real to me just like that. God became... See, most time, God is a figment. God is way out there someplace. Most of the time, God is a good idea. God is something that we'll get a hold of when we're having a bad time. But all of a sudden, there he was before me. He became real to me. I had that Gideon situation. All of a sudden, God was real. And I began hearing what I really was born to do. And I stepped out and I began doing it. And God didn't do it for me because he loves me more than others. He did it for me because I would not allow people or family mindsets to stop me. And you can't either. If you're going to pursue your dream and you're going to experience life in it abundantly, if you're going to experience all that God has for you, you cannot allow family mindsets, our relatives, our relationships to hold you back. You got to get free from it and you got to go on. My son-in-law has big dreams. He was raised in this region, and this region has a mindset. This region has a small and often poverty mindset. My son-in-law was raised here, went to school here, but he does not have a mindset like that. My son-in-law has big dreams. I mean, big dreams. He would not allow this area to hold him back. He went to college, got his law degree, moved to Chattanooga. I wasn't real crazy about that, but moved to Chattanooga, had babies. And then started talking about moving to Atlanta with my daughter and my grandsons. Now, none of us grandparents like that. But see, I have learned that Jody's bigness is really God working in his life. So none of us really were crazy about the idea. So one evening, Jody calls me on the phone, and he says, I need to ask you a question. He says, now, I'm asking you this question as my pastor not as my father-in-law. He says, I know how my father-in-law feels about it. I want to know how my pastor feels about it. And it was one of the most difficult things that I'd ever done. But I told Jody this. I said, Jody, God's wired you this way. That's in you. And whether you do it now or whether you do it later, you're going to do it. Now, my hope was that it would be later, you know. My hope was that it would be long later, but I knew at the time that it wouldn't be. And sure enough, they moved. And I respect that and I honor that. And there they are, chasing their dream and doing very, very well. I asked Bonnie yesterday, I said, what is your dream? And she said, I don't know, I got to get a new one. I've already lived the ones I've had. Did you say that?
Yeah, that's it.
That's good. See, I want you to hear me. I honor that. I think I applaud him for that. Now, I'm not crazy that it takes me an hour and a half to see my grandkids, but I'll settle there. I hope it never gets further than there. But you see what I'm saying? You can't allow family and you can't allow mindsets to stop you from pursuing and chasing your dream. On the other hand, or the other side of the coin, but on the same elevator, there's my son and his wife, Jennifer. It was a Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth thing, you know. It was interesting to me as you study that Shem, Ham, and Japheth stayed with Noah to build that ark all those years, all that time, to build something that would change society, that would bring salvation. And Lance is like that with me. God has done something unique in our hearts and linked us together to build an ark. Now, my prayer is that when the ark settles, that he doesn't go off and start his own nation. But if he were to, you see, that's his dream. That would break my heart and break a lot of our hearts. But you see what I'm saying? You got to know what has God said to you. And if you'll step out on it, just a mustard seed faith, if you'll step out there, God will do something in your life beyond anything that you can ask or think. God wants to do things in you. He's put it in there when he formed you in your mother's womb. It was there when you were a child. You may have colored it. You may have played it. God put it in you as a part of you as much as your DNA. It's as much a part of you as anything. It'll be with you every day of your life until the very end. It's in there. God wants to take that. He wants to bring it forth. He wants you to chase it and pursue it. And if you'll do it and not let any relative or any relationship or any friend hold you back, and break loose from the mindsets that families create in you, and break free from all of those things, God has a life for you that's beyond your wildest dreams. Eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and neither has entered into the hearts of men the things that God has prepared for you. He's got it all planned out for you. He has a plan, Jeremiah 29:11 says, to prosper you. He has a plan for your hope and for your future. He has great things already planned for you. But you've got to be like Abraham and get the out. You got to separate from some things. And you got to trust God and give it a try. You can always come back to the floor you're living on now. But I want you to hear me. There's higher levels. And God wants us all to go forth. There are obstacles of your dream. But there is the dream. How many dream chasers do I have in here today? Would you give the hand, Lord, a hand clap and a shout? Hallelujah! Amen! Amen! Amen. I want you to chase it so badly. I want you to pursue it. There's such great things ahead of you. I want to pray for people now. We always do this. We never like to have a service where we don't and pray for people and give them an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I want to give you that opportunity. Perhaps you don't know Him. You'll never experience your dream if you don't know Jesus. You'll never experience all that there is for you because it's a combination of you're fulfilling your dream to its ultimate position. It's also needing and requiring the help of Jesus Christ to get you there. So I want to give everyone in here an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Or possibly you've gotten away from Him. Something's happened in your life, stumbled you up, tripped you up. You've slipped back. Here's what we do here. I'll pray a prayer. Everybody in here is going to pray it. Everybody's going to pray after me. I'm not going to have you come down, shake my hand, do anything. You just pray the prayer. Then after we pray the prayer, we'll start praying for people down here for sickness or illness. Now, if you want to come down and be prayed for, tell someone that confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that that's happened to you, then you're welcome to. But don't feel like we're going to make you do it. I'm not going to put you on the spot. That's between you and God. Amen? So I want you to pray with me. I want you to pray after me right now. And just ask Jesus to come into your heart or to write your relationship. Everybody repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Save my soul. Save my life. Fulfill the dream you've put in me. Allow me to live it. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. I hope you prayed that prayer. And if you did, the Bible says you became born again. Now you can start seeing the kingdom. Now you can enter in by being born of water and spirit. And you can enter all this dream that God has planned for you. Maybe you're sick in your body today. Well, the Bible says we can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We do that here. We believe that here. Maybe you're having situations that going through in life and you need somebody to pray with you. Well, the Bible says that if wherever two or three are gathered together in His name, that you can ask what you will and I'll do it for you. So maybe you're having some difficulties with your family or with your job or with your children or with your parents. You know, it doesn't matter. Maybe a cat ran off. You know, I mean, that doesn't matter. I'm serious as I can be here. You come down and let people pray for you, because don't go out of here needing a need. This is the time. This is the place. And we believe God answers prayer. Amen. So you be coming right now. Father, we give this moment to you. Lord, it is a sacred moment. Everything we've done to this moment in time has brought us to this place where, Lord, you're ready to touch lives. You're ready to touch souls. You're ready to change situations. So, Father, I ask you now in Jesus' name as we pray for people that, Lord God, they will be touched in the way they need to be touched, in the way they're asking you to be touched. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Be coming.